So if you've been reading your Bible, which you should, you would know that it is no ordinary book. It is the most comforting, reassuring, true, strong, active, like a two-edged sword, like the Bible describes, the most beautiful book you'd ever read. And a perfect way to describe the Bible is calling it a love letter from God, because it truly is. And today we're going to talk about one of my absolute favorite chapters from this love letter, Romans 8. Romans 8 is exactly who she thinks she is. I don't know why I say it's a she. I mean, she's just so powerful. She has to be a she if she had to be a... Y'all, anyways, but Romans 8 is too good. From verse 1 to verse 11, verse 18, 828, 831, 8... Y'all, like Paul was in his bag writing Romans 8, and today we're gonna dive into it. But before we get there, hello guys, and welcome to Dead to Self podcast. Oh my goodness, I've not said that in the past 3 weeks, and I miss you guys so much. I haven't uploaded an episode for a while, and my sincerest apologies for that, because how dare I, and it was obviously not on purpose. But I miss you guys so much. I miss recording, and I know you guys miss the podcast too. Like, you do, right? I'm sure you're like, girl, I didn't even know you stopped recording. That's an ouch, but I know a lot of y'all know this. And yeah, we are back. How are you guys doing? How have you been? I hope you're doing amazing. I hope you're ending the year on a good note, seeking for the kingdom. If you're not doing well, what is up? What lie is the devil telling you right now? You can actually send me a DM on Instagram, and I truly mean this, and we talk about it. Like, we're sisters and brothers. To the 4% boys listening to this, shout out to y'all. Like, y'all have my heart in a brotherly sister in Christ type of way. But anyways, yeah, I hope you guys are doing amazing, because I'm doing good. I'm doing so amazing, especially recording this right now. Like, it just brings me so much happiness and joy and release of serotonin. But yeah, I'm doing good, and I'm especially excited to get into today's topic. Like I said, we're going to be talking about Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to be breaking down my favorite verses, starting off strong, Romans 8 verse 1. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. There is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. First of all, I think it's important for us to know the difference between condemnation and conviction. You know, when you, for example, fall back into sin, you feel so dirty and useless. You want to hide yourself from God. You feel guilty. You think you've disappointed God. You think he's so mad at you, and all of these feelings, that is condemnation, because that is not from God. That is the devil's tactics to keep you away from your Father. And the Bible clearly says that there is no condemnation to those who belong to Christ Jesus, because you are no longer a sinner once you give your life to Christ. So sin is no longer your identity. You cannot be condemned for who you are not. But instead, there is conviction, being made aware of your sin by the Holy Spirit. And when we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, the conviction comes before and even after we fall into sin. The conviction never keeps us away from God, but it draws us closer to him. It helps us know that we are forgiven in Christ Jesus. So whenever you feel guilty about your past or about falling into sin, just know that that is condemnation from the devil, because God will never condemn. He convicts and he forgives. Let's keep to verse 5, and it reads, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. I've said this so many times. Life without Jesus is death. Life without the Spirit in you is death, because you cannot make it to eternal life with your flesh. And so when your physical body deteriorates, then there is nothing left in you if you do not have the Spirit. And how do we build our spirit now? By not letting our sinful nature, which is our flesh, control us. By being sensitive to our spirit, the Holy Spirit. You know, when there's a good voice and then there's a bad voice when you're making decisions, for example, right? And then the bad voice can be your flesh and the good voice is your spirit. Sometimes the bad voice doesn't sound as bad. Like, Like, it's not always telling you the worst things, like kill yourself or murder someone. Sometimes it tells you to be friends with that person that will lead you to sin. And the good voice, on the other hand, is telling you to not be friends with that person because you're not good for your purpose and your relationship with God. But because you feed your flesh more than you feed your spirit, leading to a lack of discernment, your flesh will be way louder and it is easier for you to make the bad decision of going with your flesh. So here Paul is telling us to let the spirit control us, which leads to life and peace. And then we have verse 11, which is one of my favorite verses, and it says, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, and just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you." It's quite similar to 1 John 4:4. "He that lives in me is greater than he that is in the world, because he that is in me is the Spirit of God who raised Christ from the dead." Like, do you know how powerful that is? And this is the one thing that the devil is hiding from us, that the devil does not want us to know. He does not want us to understand how powerful we are. If the Spirit that heals, if the Spirit that empowers, the Spirit that brings peace and joy and raised Christ from the dead lives in us, then what exactly can we not do? Like, what can we not do through the Holy Spirit? And here Paul tells us not to worry that you are in your flesh, because the Spirit gives life even to our mortal bodies while we are here on earth. For us to overcome the world, for us to overcome sin and trials and tribulations and temptation, the Spirit lives in us now and gives us power to overcome all of these things that are not of Christ. Verse 15 goes on to say, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father." Fear of the future, fear of the unknown, fear of the past, fear of the present. God did not give us a spirit of fear. Like the Bible tells us, in multiple occasions, for example, "Fear not, for I am with you. I have called you by name. You are mine." And Paul is reminding us that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but we receive God's Spirit as he has adopted us as his children. Now we call him Abba, Father. I've said this so many times, but above all things, God is my Father. And just imagine God as a Father. He is such an almighty loving God, and imagine how beautiful and caring he is as a father. And this reminds me of the verse in Luke chapter 11 that says, "Which of you earthly fathers will give your son a snake when he asks for a fish, or a scorpion when he asks for an egg? And how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" If you have an earthly father present okay, that's not funny. Like, that's actually not funny. But if you have an earthly father, a present earthly father, and you've experienced fatherly love, it is like, yo, I laugh because, you know, I don't have a present earthly father. So if you think that I'm laughing at you, no, I'm actually laughing at myself. But yeah, it's okay though. I'm healed, yo. I promise I am. It's just funny sometimes when I talk about it, but I'm good. Anyways, if you have a present earthly father and you've experienced fatherly love and how beautiful that can be, it is like a grain of sand in a beach compared to how much more your heavenly Father will give you and love you and protect you and guide you. That is the Spirit that he has given us as his children, that we can call him Abba, Father. We can say, "Father, Lord, I need this. Lord, I'm not feeling well today. Lord, give me your peace." Like, he is just an everlasting God. He has all that we need, and all we have to do is to call him Abba, Father, and ask, and he will give us. Then we go to verse 18. I just love this verse so much. It says, "Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later." How amazing is God? Like, not only is he loving and protecting and our Father and, but he tells us that when we go through sufferings, trials, tribulations, hardship, heartbreak, It is nothing compared to the glory that he will reveal to us later. It is nothing compared to the joy that is on its way. And this reminds me of the story of Lazarus, the pain and the suffering that Lazarus had to go through in sickness, and then he died. And here comes Jesus revealing his glory later by resurrecting Lazarus from the dead. And I'm pretty sure that he has done it in our life. It might not be as deep as Lazarus, but I'm pretty sure that you're living in an answered prayer now. You're living in the goodness of God in the situation that you once cried yourself to sleep about, because I know for certain that I am in so many different aspects of my life. So we suffer, we endure, knowing that my God is working behind the scenes, and the testimony that is about to come out of this is gonna be top tier. Like, and personally, I'm still waiting for my job testimony as I quote unquote suffer the rejection and now I know that it is nothing compared to the joy that is coming later, compared to the glory of God that will be revealed later. And sometimes you're like, oh, me personally, I'm like, okay, God, I get you, but you know, please be quicker. Like, when are you revealing this joy and revealing your glory? Like, I know you say at the right time, I, the Lord, will make it happen. But when is it the right time, Lord? Like, the right time is taking a whole lot of time. And verse 25 tells us, but if we look forward to something we don't have yet, we must wait patiently and confidently. Whew, wow. I need to take a break to soak all of these in. Like, we are still in Romans chapter 8, by the way. But if we look forward to something we do not have yet, we must wait patiently and confidently. Keyword, patiently and confidently, faithfully, knowing that the wait adds weight to the testimony. The wait, waiting on the Lord, adds weight, like a heaviness, a deepness, a like, wow, you really went through all of that and God still brought you out of it type of testimony. Like, y'all know those testimonies that you're like, wow, God is working. Yeah, that's what the weight does. The weight adds weight to the testimony. So you just wait patiently and confidently, knowing that my God has never failed me and he will not start now. And then we go to verse 28. Oh, I love verse 28. This is the most common of these verses. If you're a child of God, you should know this verse. Actually, let's say it together. 1, 2, 3, go. And we know that all things work together for the good of those that love God and are called according to his purpose. All things work together for your good. All things, not some things, not the good things. All things, that means the good, the bad, the ugly, and whatever it is, you name it, it is working out for your good. I'm not the one saying it, though. It's Jesus. Okay, not my Cameroonian accent popping out, but like, these are not just words that I made up. This is not a motivational quote. This is from the word of God. You can be like, okay, Pearl, what do you mean the grief, the lack, the pain, the heartbreak? Like, what do you mean all of this is working out for my good? John 13:7, which I always pair these two verses together. You may not understand now, but later on you will. It may not look like it right now, but God is not a man that he should lie. He's not a son of man that he should change his mind. If he says it, it is true. It is working out for your good. Like, God is cooking behind the scenes. Every good thing you see now went through a season of brokenness and a season of building. Like, you don't just start perfectly, you don't just come out perfect, you know. For example, the trees, the buildings, everything around us that we see as beautiful did not start that way. Like, the most beautiful skyscrapers in Dubai, for example, they do not just appear there. They had to go through building from the foundation up. The trees, they were once a seed. So what more of us humans? We will go through the trials and the tribulations, but it will certainly be a part of our story, and it will certainly beautify us in the times to come. I'm gonna quote Romans 8:28 in every single podcast episode until you soak it in, because this is one vital verse in our walk with Christ. Like, when you understand it, then you just do not worry. You just, like, there's just no worry with anything, because you know that God says he's working it out for my good, then he is working it out for my good. Okay, so let's go to verse 31. I love verse 31. So it says, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Like, God gave you his son, and you're out here worrying if God is going to give you what? The job, the good exam rate, the relationship, the car, the, like, come on, be serious. That is absolutely nothing compared to his own son. Like, since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he give us everything else? If God is for us, who can be against us? And lately, I'm learning that if all you have is Jesus, then you have all you need. If Jesus is on your side, if you are on the Lord's side, then there is no battle, no spiritual warfare. There is nothing that you cannot overcome. And I'm going to repeat this. If God can give his son, if God can give himself in human form for us, what else can he not give us? Like what? What? Name it. Crickets, exactly, because absolutely nothing, because that's how amazing the God that we serve is. And Paul finished the chapter with a banger. Verse 35. Ooh, Jesus, I love verse 35. It gives me chills. Okay, so can anything separate us from the love of Christ? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or in destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No, absolutely not. Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. No further explanation needed. Verse 38 hits deeper. And I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the power of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh my goodness. Oh man. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Absolutely nothing. Not our sins, not the suffering, not death, not fears. Absolutely nothing. And you might say to yourself, well, I don't really feel this God's love that everyone's talking about. Like, life is hard for me right now. Like, I'm going through it and I don't feel the love of God. Here's the thing. God's love is not based on our situation. It's not based on how soft life is for us or not. God's love is everywhere. It's in our family. It's in nature. It's in the fact that you can breathe, that you are breathing now. God's love is in life. God's love is in life. It's in every day. Where you are right now is not by your might or by your power, but it is by the love of God. You are alive by the love of God. It does not matter your quality of life, whether you live in a mansion and can get everything you want or need, or you are a beggar on the street. Nothing separates us from the love of God. Whether you have a soft, easy life with no lack, or you're going through the toughest time in life right now and you don't even know where your next meal will come from, God's love is above all of that. And everything he does from a place of love. That's one of the most beautiful things I've learned since working with God. Everything he does from a place of love. The good, the bad, letting you go through all the hardship, trauma, sin, mistakes. That is all from a place of love. And absolutely nothing can separate us from God's love. And yeah, that is all for today's episode. Please, please meditate on Romans chapter 8 for yourself, because it is honestly such a beautiful book. And God might even tell you something while you meditate on it that I did not mention in the podcast. And also comment down, like, what's your favorite Bible verse from Romans chapter 8 and how it speaks to you and all of that. But thank you so, so much for listening. And the song that is currently playing is I'm Holding On by Madison Ryan Ward. I love this song so, so, so much. I've played it probably more than 100 times. It's such a good song, and I want y'all to listen. The whole album is so, so good. And never forget, Jesus loves you more than the world can comprehend. See you next week. Bye.
I'm holding on to hope for better days. No matter where I go, your love is here to stay. I'm holding on, though the wind will try to take. You're my anchor at the bottom, you won't let me drift away. Yeah. Hear you speaking, keep on dreaming. It's your season, keep believing. Just scratching the surface, discovering my purpose. You're pulling me tighter, igniting my fire. You're pulling the curtains back. No question, I'm certain that even in the waiting, Lord, you're never changing. I'm holding on to hope for better days. No matter where I go, your love is here to stay. Drift away.